going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany riding solo here with you today. Lots to get to on the program. We're going to recap mostly everything from week seven of the NFL. Another weird week, honestly. And the headlines after week seven, just like week six. Jets win, Giants win, Seahawks win, Bucks lose, Packers lose. What world are we living in here? Remarkable stuff in the NFL. That's why it's so great, honestly. That's why it's so good. It's really tough to predict. Things change in, I don't know, what's the saying? I don't even know the saying. But they change. The snap of your fingers. Change on a dime. Quick. That's not the saying I was looking for. But here we are talking about the Jets, the Giants, and the Seahawks, and two future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady can't figure out a way to move the ball and get a W. Crazy stuff in the NFL. We'll take a look at tonight's Monday Night Football game, a little quick preview. Honestly, it's not going to be great, I don't think. Pats and Bears, we have the Patriots as 8.5-point favorites, the total at 40. I don't know if we'll get 40 points. The Bears are a team that has not been able to move the ball offensively really at all. And they don't throw the ball all that much. And Bill Belichick and what he has done to, you know, young quarterbacks against, you know, this season, his whole career, and just recently as well. The Pats defense has played really good over the past couple of weeks. And then are in a really good spot here this week against the Chicago Bears. We're going to dive into, you know, some takeaways, preview that game. I got like one or two props I like. I don't like a whole lot from that contest. A shout out to Kyle Murray, man. The NFL betting show, he's been absolutely hot fire. I think he went 3 for 3 on Friday. I think he's gone 3 or 4 straight weeks or appearances, 3 for 3. It's hard to keep up. He's been absolutely crushing it for us over at FTN. I was 2 for 3 on the show, but my gold pick did not hit. So not good. You got to get your gold pick. Had Derrick Henry over 13.5 receiving yards. He had 3 catches, but he only had 10 receiving yards. We're going to break down, like I said, things from week 7. We may have to pour one out for Breece Hall. It pains me. I'm rocking the Jets tee for Breece today. Joined Pat Mayo last night with Tim Anderson, and he's like a kid on Christmas. You know, his Jets got 5 W's here to start the season. And a big win yesterday for them, despite really not moving the ball at all offensively, especially when Breece Hall left that game early. What up, Mr. Nice Guy? We got James in the house, Mean Streets in the house. Troy, how about those Blue Jackets? Blue Jackets, oh baby, playing pretty good hockey as of right now. A handful of games on the ice tonight. I have some NHL props for you as well. I'm going to take a look at the Fantasy Hockey Waiver Wire Week 3 this week. So I'm going to take a look at 4 game streams. I have it all broken down for you over at ftnfantasy.com. You know, if you missed the draft kit, you can still hang out through the entire season. Going to have weekly articles over at ftnfantasy.com. You know, advice, you know, articles are just going to pop up here and there when injuries happen. Broke down all kinds of injuries. Talked about, you know, 4 game streams, players to add, drop, sell high, panic mode. We're only two weeks into the NHL season. We don't need to be dropping guys that, you know, you draft in the first 5 or 6 rounds. It's patience. Absolutely patience. The Fall Classic is set. It's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies, who just limped into the playoffs, kind of got hot down the stretch and limped in. It's always a dangerous team. Remember the Braves last year as well. Multiple teams that I can think about off the top of my head that limped into the playoffs and made a run into the postseason. They are going to face the perfect Houston Astros. They have yet to lose a game. They swept the New York Yankees. Their bullpen has only allowed 3 earned runs in, I think, 34 innings. It may be the most complete team I've ever seen, honestly. And it pains me to say it. We said it on this show when we talked about the World Series odds. It said that the Astros are going to win the World Series, and it made me sick to think about. I still believe that they're going to win the World Series. I'm rooting for the Phillies. There's something special going on there. It kicks off on Friday. They will have a full rest of Zach Wheeler if they want to go Wheeler game one, or if they want to go Aaron Nola game one. You know, Bryce Harper's playing really good ball. Reese Hoskins, like they're playing really good ball in Philadelphia. And, you know, I joke that maybe the Eagles are rubbing off on them. The Flyers are playing good hockey, you know, 2 straight losses, but they started off the season really well. Phillies are playing really good, but this Astros team, man, it's just, they're so good. This is what they're back-to-back World Series appearance, 4 in the last 6 years. I think off the top of my head, 4 in the last 6, I should know that. We'll break down the series odds in just a little bit. They're so good. They don't strike out at the plate. They make contact. They take their walks. The pitching staff is phenomenal. The bullpen is phenomenal. You know, Jose Altuve hasn't really done anything in the postseason, and he's a guy that, you know, I saw a couple hits from him yesterday, you know, a couple bloopers, and it's just a matter of time before he gets going. Alex Bregman flips a switch when the bright lights in October are turned on. The Astros are playing really good ball, and they are favorites, and they should be favorites in the World Series Classic. A bunch of NBA games, too. I think I have a pick or a prop as well to share with you. Lots to get to here on this show. We'll take an early look at the Week 8 NFL betting lines as well. Two teams on bye. We got another game happening in London. Of course, it is Jacksonville back in London this week as well, and a couple injuries to talk about. Of course, Mike Williams, I know the Chargers are on bye, but Mike Williams may miss some time with a high ankle sprain that did not look good, and waiting to hear word. Tyler, if you can hang on to the Twitter machine, maybe you can give us some news if we do hear about Breece Hall, but I'm bracing myself for Breece Hall. Mark Kerr in the house. What is Wilson going to do now that he'll actually have to throw the ball? Yeah, he's got a couple of tough matchups ahead. Easy for me to say. Pats this week. I think Bills the following week. He's going to have to throw the football. Without Breece Hall there. But something we've said on the show, it's no victory laps. I don't do that kind of stuff here. At least I try not to. We talked about not dropping Michael Carter. About the next man up. Michael Carter's been on the most drop list twice, I think, this season as we head into Week 8. And now he's a running back that's going to touch the ball 20-plus times. Look for maybe the Jets to do something. I don't know, trade deadline's up. Could they just, I don't know, a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick for like a veteran back? But I do believe Michael Carter is going to be the lead there moving forward. Quick break, and we will dive into some more NFL takes and things that happened over the weekend. Geno Smith taking the league by storm. We'll talk about him and a whole lot more here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Yeah, Brett, that was the guy that I was actually thinking about, Kareem Hunt to the Jets. I don't know if it's really necessary. I know the Jets are sitting here, you know, after 7 weeks and they have a really good record, and they got, what, 5 wins here. They're playing really good football. They're playing really good defensive football, and this is not a shot at Zach Wilson. I know Mark took one, and I get it. I hear the rumblings. Zach Wilson has been in the league for a minute. Like, the engine of this team for the first six, seven weeks has been Breece Hall. Breece Hall, the way that they run the offensive line and the way that they play defense, and Sauce Gardner's elite, right? I mean, you saw it a couple times, you know, with the game on the line. I can't believe that they decided to take a shot with Sutton in the end zone with Sauce Gardner there. Nonetheless, this defense is playing pretty good. Do they just ride the course? Do they just, you know, do they have Super Bowl aspirations? Let's be honest. Like, they're in a division with the Bills and the AFC, albeit there's been some struggles with certain teams, but it is loaded. I still think it's a stretch. The Jets are going to make the playoffs despite the record being as good as it is. And even if they lose these next couple weeks, which I expect them to lose to the Pats and expect them to lose to the Bills, and they head into their bye, you know, at 5-4, that's pretty solid, right? I think most Jets fans would take that. Tim Anderson last night, Mayo Media Network joined those guys, and he said exactly that. He would have taken that at the start of the season, and I think he could. But, yeah, I mean, the Browns are losing games, close games, but they're losing games. And Kareem Hunt, you know, he was in the news before the season started about potentially getting traded. And if you're the Browns, I mean, why not, right? Get what you can for this guy. I don't think the Cleveland's a playoff team this year. Maybe they move forward next year with just Chubb. You know, it'll be a different offense when Deshaun Watson does return. But yeah, Hunt comes to mind. Alexander Mattison comes to mind. Maybe Jeff Wilson. Maybe Jeff Wilson is a guy that, you know, you could trade a couple picks, just get some depth, you know, a late round pick or whatever, right? Just kind of roll with Michael Carter and roll with Ty Johnson, you know, as a third down running back and things like that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's some guys in the news, you know, Chase Claypool and DJ Moore. We'll see if these guys do get traded. DJ Moore showed up yesterday. What the heck with the Bucks? I still can't believe it. It really blows my mind. This team, they were 13-point favorites, and they only put up 3 points. I know Mike Evans had that big drop, but I'd love to hear from you guys. Out of the Bucks, Rams, and Packers, which team... which team do you feel like can turn it around? Which team is done? Maybe none of them you feel are done. The Vikings are sitting at 5-1. The Packers have a game this week in Buffalo, the biggest underdog of Aaron Rodgers' career. Hello, Albert in the house. Which team are you most worried about moving forward? The Bucks, the Rams, or the Packers? I think it's the Packers. The team that I'm most worried about is Green Bay. They're not using their running backs as much as they should. I've been saying that a lot on this show. It almost feels like, you know, Rodgers wants to prove that he can get it done with anybody at the wide receiver position, but this is not happening. It's not the case. Like, it's not all on Rodgers, but, you know, guys are dropping passes consistently in this offense. There's nobody that's really stepping up. It doesn't feel like there's somebody that Rodgers can trust. I don't know if anybody heard the audio from the game with, like, Tonyan lining up on the left side, and he's yelling, like, get that bleeping over on the other side. Like, there's a disconnect completely. There's a disconnect, James. It's over for the Packers this year. They should be pounding the rock. Like, what's their schedule look like? Let's just take a look at this Packers team. I've always said that they're overrated anyways. I know that they've lost coin flip games in the playoffs over the past couple years, but, you know, they couldn't win those games with Davante Adams. Now, you know, no Davante Adams on the squad. And I don't think it's all Davante Adams, but clearly, you know, with the game on the line, you know, yesterday and other games that have been on the line for the Packers over the past couple weeks when they haven't been able to get that score that's needed, you know, having a guy like Adams certainly helps. But this is a team now that has losses in three straight to the Pats, or to the Giants, rather, the Jets and Washington. Think about that for a second. The Giants, the Jets, and the Commanders, losses. They get the Bills this week, a layup game against the Lions. Lions are, you know, they'll hang in that game. It's in Detroit. I think they'll hang. After that, Dallas, Tennessee, at Philadelphia. They got the Rams later on in the schedule, and they got week 16 against the Vikings. So it's a rough go for the Packers. I don't know what's really happening here in Green Bay, but when I watch them, I see missed assignments. I see a team that should pound the rock a little bit more. It's inexcusable. Aaron Jones has 8 rushing attempts and AJ Dillon has 4. It's just inexcusable. And week 6, again, looking at this, at these two guys, the run game, It may be one of the best 1-2 punches in the league. AJ Dillon, 10 for 41, Aaron Jones, 9 for 19. So they ran the ball a little bit more in that game, but it's, I don't know. I really don't know. For the Bucks, I think they're still fine. I do believe that they're fine. I think it's like some coaching stuff. I don't know. Like, Todd Bowles now is the head coach and Leftwich, and, you know, Bruce Arians up at the top, and maybe he needs to get back down on the field. I still believe overall in the talent that they have. The offensive line has got some issues. You know, they still have a ton of weapons for Tom Brady and company. The defense still has a lot of players there as well. It's just maybe some soul searching with that squad. Maybe they're just kind of riding the course. You know, they feel like they'll get into the playoffs and they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. But it's been a weird couple weeks for them. And also, it's funny. The Carolina Panthers are one game back from that divisional lead. Now, I don't think they're going to win the division. But they're one game back, and they just traded away their best player last week, and they're rolling with like a third string quarterback, and they were able to find a way to get the win there. But credit to the Jets, credit to the Giants, credit to Seattle. How about the Seattle Seahawks? They're leading the NFC West. Geno Smith has 6 passing touchdowns of at least 20 yards. That's the most in the NFL. Nobody has more than that, right? That's right. Rewind the tape. Geno Smith, 6 touchdowns of at least 20 passing yards, 20 yards down the field, 6 of them. Geno Smith. Josh Allen has 6 as well, but nobody has more than Geno Smith. He's got a league high 73.5% completion rate. He had 5 starts in the NFL in the last 6 seasons heading into this year. 5. That's it. Just 5 in a 6-year span. And what Geno Smith is doing is phenomenal. It's spectacular. Yeah, the Chargers charged yesterday. That's what they do. But you gotta give credit to Seattle here. What they're doing, I didn't think that they would win 6 games this year. They had like a 5.5 win total. That's it. They're going to get there. I don't know. Is there any news on DK? I don't think we have any news just yet. It's certainly more significant than him having to use the bathroom. You know, he got carted off a couple weeks ago. He had to use the bathroom. He got carted off yesterday. I think it was more than him having to use the bathroom. We'll see what's going on with DK. But credit to Geno, man. He is getting it done with his 2 weapons in Lockett and in DK. And yesterday, Marquise Goodwin, you know, he's getting it done with guys like, who's the next man up? How about Kenneth Walker? right? I mean, that's a prop that we hit on the NFL betting show pretty easily. Guy had like a $170. Chargers can't stop the run. And Kenneth Walker's, he's been phenomenal in each of these last 3 weeks. He's fine in the end zone. I think he's got four touchdowns over the span. He's got like 400 rushing yards. He's been fantastic. He's been really good. But credit to the Seahawks. Are you kidding me? Seahawks and Giants this week. Panthers are 20 to 1 to win the NFC South. Daily handle, don't bet it. But yeah, 20 to 1 to win the division and they're a game back, right? I mean, I don't think anybody, does anybody really think the Bucs won't win the division? How about the Falcons? How about the Falcons being down? They were never in that game yesterday. Joe Burrow had like 400 yards at half. They were never in the game. By the way, it's the second time Joe Burrow has had a game of 450 passing yards, four touchdowns, and an 80% completion rate, at least. I mean, he's an elite company for doing that. I think Brady's done it, Peyton Manning's done it, and I think maybe one other, and that's it. Like, he's got two of those games. Craziness. Yeah, Marquise Goodwin. It's Goodwin, right? Yeah, I saw him yesterday. He popped off with a score, I do believe. Yeah, nobody knows. Who is he? Geno's getting it done. He's back in the league. There's a lot of guys like that yesterday. It was a weird week. Philip Dorsett, right? Philip Dorsett, touchdowns. How about Mecole Hardman? Three touchdowns, two end-around touchdowns. How about the report that Isaiah Pacheco was starting? This guy was starting in the NFL, and everyone went nuts. It's just, listen, I fell for it as well. I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't fall for the report. We didn't hear anything all week where he was running with the first team offense. You know, he has looked pretty good in spurts. You know, CEH hasn't looked good running between the tackles. Jerick McKinnon is not that type of back, but yesterday he was really pretty good in opportunities that he had. Pacheco, I think, had like four carries for 12 yards or something like that. Got some run towards the end of the game. It was garbage time at that point. It's a committee, guys, in KC. It's a full-on committee. I still think CEH is the guy atop the committee moving forward. Even if it's just a handful of carries, they find a way to use him inside the red zone. They get him touches, and you know he's really good. He's been really good. He's been super efficient. I don't know if that is sustainable, but he's finding ways to score touchdowns. And that report came out that he's starting. You hear this all the time in the NFL. I honestly don't know if that means a whole lot. Yeah, he's starting. That means he's getting first team reps. But when there's other guys that are capable on that squad, like CEH and like Jerick McKinnon, I just feel like you got to keep that in the back of your mind that, yeah, he can start and he could get the first, I don't know, three series. And if he's not doing anything, then they could switch to CEH. And if he has a couple nice runs, then it's CEH. Or if McKinnon has a couple nice runs, it's McKinnon. You know, Denver, they said Nathaniel Hackett, Melvin Gordon's going to be the starter. It wasn't all Melvin Gordon. You know, Mike Boone left with an injury and he may miss some time, but it was also, Latavius again. You just keep in mind moving forward, Kyle Woods, Pacheco cost me Foreman play yesterday. Pacheco versus Foreman the rest of the season. It's Foreman for me the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean, those Carolina backs, it was pretty much split. Chuba acted as the lead, and he has acted like the lead, you know, when Christian McCaffrey, you hear that guy, CMC, when CMC was, you know, the guy, you know, in Carolina, the backup was Chuba Hubbard. Last year when CMC missed some time, it was Chuba. But I fully believe in Foreman. I think he has the higher ceiling. I think he's going to have the pass-catching role here on this squad. I think most times Carolina will be down in games. I think that was an outlier game yesterday. But both of these guys combined, CMC workload, and they were productive. You know, Foreman had a nice long run. Chuba capped it off with a touchdown. They were both very much even in terms of snaps played and routes run. But it's Foreman the rest of the way. I understand Pacheco's on the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are great, but it's a full-on committee in Kansas City. I truly believe that. So I would go with Foreman the rest of the way. Maybe we'll break, and then we'll take a look at Week 8. There really wasn't a lot of, honestly, there wasn't a lot of takeaways for me. I kind of said them off the top. The three teams, you know, that we didn't expect to be good are playing really good football. The Giants find a way again to win. We talked about Wandell Robinson. I think he had six catches. He's somebody that should be picked up. He should be played. He's like a wide receiver three as a flex guy. I don't think his ceiling is super high, but like he's a PPR guy. Daniel Jones, again, got it done with his legs and Saquon as well. You know, the Jags got in their way, but you got to credit to the Giants. You know, Travis Etienne, that's a big takeaway. The backfield was his. Robinson hardly touched the field, and Etienne had all the carries. He had a fumble, you know, inside the red zone. which it looked like he was on his way to score his second touchdown, and then he fumbled the ball, and then the Giants took over. I thought that was a big turning point. I also thought there was another turning point in that game where Doug Peterson was maybe a little bit more aggressive than he probably should have been. They were up by four. They could have kicked a field goal and gone up by a touchdown. They decided to go for it. I understand you have Trevor Lawrence, and he's been doing some nice quarterback sneaks. He's been successful doing them, and he had another touchdown yesterday. He is the goal line back inside that offense. Jags kind of gave one up there, but credit to the Giants getting it done again with minimal playmakers. Slayton had a touchdown, Saquon Jones, right? Seahawks talked about them. Also, the Jets talked about them. We'll see what happens moving forward, you know, without the heartbeat of that offense, which has been Breece Hall over the first few weeks of the season. And then the other takeaways, the Bucs, the Rams, and the Packers. We'll take a break and we'll take a look at the schedule, highlight some other takeaways throughout, and we'll turn the page. We've got some hockey stuff here for you guys, and we'll also take a look at the Monday Night Football game. I know, it's a barn burner, right? You're not going to want to miss it. It's Pats and it's Bears on Monday Night Football, and we'll be back here on Game Plus in a couple. Welcome back in. The other big takeaway for me yesterday was Josh Jacobs, right? Josh Jacobs was phenomenal, 143 yards on the ground. The matchup was great. You know, he was pretty chalky in DFS. He paid off. He had a hat trick. He scored three touchdowns. And, you know, he easily passed his rushing yard prop, which we all had. Kyle had it on the show. I believe Kyle had it on the show. It may have been Damian Pierce. We both had Pierce. We had Pierce for yards and Pierce for receptions and for receiving yards. Damian Pierce, again, just another strong week. He looks just fantastic as a running back for the Texans on a team that's just not good, right? The Houston Texans are not great. Teams are stacking the box, and Pierce is still finding a way to get it done. But for Josh Jacobs, 143 rushing yards, and it's like the third fewest he's had over the last 3 weeks. A buck 54, A buck 44. He's got 3+ catches in 4 straight games. I mean, it took a little bit for the Raiders. Chad Midgley, shout out. Took a little bit for McDaniels to realize what, you know, he had in Josh Jacobs. And I understand that, you know, they didn't pick up the 5th-year option, and, you know, everyone freaked out when he got touches in the Hall of Fame game. There's a couple things here. Josh McDaniels is a new head coach. There's a new coaching staff in Las Vegas. They're just not just going to hand out options. Oh yeah, here you go. Here you go. They got to see what they have with these guys. Right. It doesn't mean he's not going to be part of the future. It doesn't mean he's not going to be a Raider next year. If you're the Raiders coaching staff, like, how could you not want to have this guy in your squad? I know you're going to pay running backs, but this guy is really good at the game of football, and he has been since he's entered the league, and people have just ripped on him. You know, he doesn't catch passes, or, you know, the Raiders are no good. He's game scripted out of games. Josh Jacobs looks fantastic. He looks great. Continue to feed him, give him the ball, give him the rock. Another takeaway from yesterday was Paris Campbell. You know, I may have to take the L here on Paris Campbell. I still believe in Alec Pierce. He's out there just as much, running just as many routes as Paris Campbell and Alec Pierce. Like, it's really neck and neck, side by side. But over the last little bit here, Paris Campbell has gotten a ton of play. He's got back-to-back games with double-digit targets. He's got back-to-back games with a touchdown. He's got 23 targets over his last 2 weeks, which is crazy because his first 5 games, he didn't have more than 4 targets, and he didn't have more than 60 yards. He's just like a non-factor. There's one game where Pearson Pittman didn't play, and Paris Campbell didn't even get a target in the game, but he needs to be on our radar for sure, right? Gus Bus, a big takeaway for me as well. Gus Bus, you know, over the past couple of years, this is a guy that, you know, he's been productive when he's been given the rock. I think 700+ yards in each of his first 2 seasons in the NFL, didn't play last year. Not going to be a guy that catches the ball all that much, but certainly somebody that, you know, Kenyon Drake had a nice moment or two when J.K. Dobbins wasn't around, and Dobbins going to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks. Gus Bus, you know, if he didn't get a chance to pick him up before, you know, waivers or before the game started, he should be high on your list. You still have Lamar on the squad and is a run heavy, you know, he's going to call his own number. He's going to run the rock. And this Lamar is in his nature, and he's really good at it. But Gus Bus is probably going to be a guy that gets, you know, 15, 16 carries here and there, some goal line work. I definitely like him over Kenyon Drake. Is familiar with the system. They know what they have in Gus Edwards. So tomorrow we will do, this is live, Black Jetty. This is a live stream. You have any questions? There is one. Let's get to it. I'll get to this one right there for you right now. How many questions? By all means, leave them. Watch the replay. Drop them in the comment section. Watch on Game Plus. Hop on over FTN Network YouTube page. The show is also available on iTunes and Spotify. Tomorrow we'll do rankings. We'll do streams and all those you know, defense, quarterbacks, all that good stuff. So, okay, big time trade offer here. Can you give me some context? What else is on your squad here? You got offered CMC and Pittman. It seems like a really good deal to take. You know, Eckler's been phenomenal. He's been fantastic, man. He is just carrying me in Jake Seeley's flex league. It seems like every week he gets 30 points. They're on bye this week. Mike Williams is going to miss some time. He really is. Keenan Allen is a guy that just can't seem to stay healthy and on the field. There could be a lot of games moving forward. What did we see yesterday? 12 targets, 12 grabs, something silly like that for Austin Eckler. Yeah, I think that sort of production is going to continue. Like, Eckler is going to be a guy that I think he's on pace for like 120 catches. We can do quick math on this. I'd like to see what else is on your squad. Honestly, like, is Pittman, like, you're getting an RB1. I kind of like Eckler more than CMC the rest of the year, but it's close. But you're also getting Pittman. So, I mean, I don't know what else you got on your team. There we go. Thank you. You got Mahomes, you got Eckler, you got Walker, you got Kelce. Man, my goodness, look at this squad. No wonder you're 6-0. You don't even really need to mess around with this team. But you are getting an upgrade. Is this a four-man team, Jetty? I'm kidding. Do you start three wide receivers or two? Because look at this squad. I mean, it's phenomenal. You have Mahomes. So you would have Mahomes, Walker, CMC. You got Kelce at tight end, 10-man. Is it three wide receiver spots or two with a flex? You can go Kupp, Evans, Pittman. This is Davante Adams too. Holy crap. Two flex. So yeah, you're going to get into a situation where you can only start, you know, yeah, you're going to be, so moving forward, you would start CMC. You would start Kenneth Walker. You got Kelce at tight end. You got Kupp wide receiver one. You got Mike Evans wide receiver two. You got Davante Adams as your flex. And then, you know, you got Najee, Foreman, Hubbard, Cordero. You're set up pretty good here. It's a really good squad. I don't know where Pittman cracks your lineup. I mean, we're going to get into buys and unfortunately injuries will happen. Yeah, I would make that move. I would make that move. You know, it's kind of a wash. Like I said, I do like Eckler a little bit more than CMC. He's going to get more targets, certainly over these next couple weeks. He's going to be like the number one option for Justin Herbert, especially if Mike Williams misses like 4 to 6 weeks, which I do believe is a possibility. That looked bad. And then, you know, you'll just have tough decisions. You're always going to start Kupp, I think, and Devontae. I would go like Kupp and Devontae every week. I think that's Davante Adams. And then, you know, you have Evans as a flex. Yeah, I'd make the move. And you got both Carolina running backs too, right? So Chuba and Foreman in there. Cordero coming back. Nice squad. And it's pretty elite. There was another question there, I think, earlier, right, from Mark. What do I do with AJ Dillon? I mean, I have some AJ Dillon. I haven't been starting him in a dynasty. I would look to buy. I mean, there's no better time right now to buy than at this moment. The Packers have lost three straight. They're not giving him the ball. He's a good running back. I do believe that he's a good running back. He's had a couple fumbles. There's been some miscommunication on the offensive line. I think he's a good running back. He is going to be pretty cheap to buy. You pick him up. Absolutely. I'd pick him up. If he was hanging around the waiver wire in a dynasty league, I certainly would pick him up. Brett Thunderstruck, need to replace Mike Williams, target Palmer or DeAndre Carter. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Charger, but if you're looking long-term here, I would go with Palmer. You know, I know he didn't play, but they're on a bye this week. Tomorrow, Brett, we will dive into wide receiver rankings, but I think if you're looking for somebody this week, like a Wandell Robinson again, you know, a Paris Campbell, these are players that I would take a look at before any of those guys. But, you know, you're looking long term. You like the makeup of your team. You got somebody to plug in this week and things like that. You know, I'd get some shares of probably Palmer. I would believe Palmer would be the guy for me. I think he's got a higher ceiling in there. And then Mr. Nice Guy, my four parlay for tonight. Okay. We can get into it in the next block. New England, Bears under 22 points. Field sack. Yeah. I like it. Mr. Nice Guy, I like it quite a bit. I think the Bears are in trouble tonight. They really are. Did anybody hear what Bill Belichick with the 10-11 minute rant about how good the Bears are? and Fields and the offense and Mooney and this and that, and the coaching staff, he's all over it. Bill Belichick is all over it. So Pittman would replace Najee in the flex. Yeah, Jedi, I think that's a significant upgrade for you. No question. Good squad there. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll take a quick break and we will dive into tonight's football game. I got one prop that I like and maybe two or three, but you know, this might be a night for unders. We'll talk about that and we will finally take a look at the week 8 schedule. Two teams on bye this week. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Tyler, let's take a look at an early look at week 8 NFL betting lines, a couple matchups. Maybe we can take advantage of some early lines. So this is the Thursday night football game, Bucks and Ravens. We'll see if Tampa can figure it out at home, but they are underdogs here on Thursday night football. Man, I don't even think the Ravens are that good. I think they're overrated. I think the secondary is pretty weak. That should be a good game, though. It should be a pretty good game. We'll see. I got to lean to the Bucks. I think they bounce back at home. Broncos and Jags, you know, Jags 3.5-point favorites. Broncos, you know, Russ, no Russ, is a team that's just struggling on offense. You know, heading into the week, they had a league low 15.2 points and they didn't get to double digit points yesterday. I think this is a fair line for Jacksonville, but I do believe, you know, a field goal. I think it'll be a field goal game there. How about the Falcons, right? I don't know if I even mentioned this, but they were nowhere. They weren't even in the game. I think I touched on it and I got sidetracked. They weren't in the game at all. And they lost by 18 points. Mariota threw the ball 13 times. 13 times. That's it. They clearly don't trust him to throw the ball. They're not going to throw the ball this week as 6-point favorites against the Panthers. It's going to be a run fest. Chuba and Foreman and Algier and Huntley. It's just going to Mariota running the ball. It's just going to be ugly. Like, how do you spend that kind of capital on Kyle Pitts in the first round 2 years ago, Drake London in the first round, and you're not even interested in using these guys despite being down a couple scores? Like Joe Burrow, as I mentioned, now, like, this guy had like 400 yards at half. They were out of the game right from the hop, right away. I think the first couple games, you know, Tyler Boyd down the middle of the field had a big touchdown. Boyd had a huge game, and it's GG, and the Falcons don't even care. They don't even want to throw the football. The boys, 10-point favorites here against the Bears. You know, I thought Dak looked okay. There was certainly some rust. What I liked, honestly, is, you know, the Cowboys running the rock. I know it was a team against the Lions that can't stop the run, can't stop anybody. Pollard was playing ahead of Zeke. Maybe that change is starting to happen, but Zeke still has value. It's goal line work. He had 2 touchdowns, a lot of goal line work. I thought he'd get over 64 rushing yards. He was stuck on 57. I know he left. Maybe if he doesn't leave with a knee injury, he left for a little bit. He missed a little bit of time, but that's what the Cowboys should do. They should run the rock. Michael Gallup, a big zero. He's going to be the most dropped player. I would pick him up. I would hold on to him. I'm not starting him. I still believe in him that he could be the number two inside this offense behind CeeDee. Schultz had some moments yesterday as well. But they'll be in some situations where they have to throw the football. And I don't know, man. I don't trust Mike McCarthy that he's just going to straight up run the rock. But they probably should, right? The defense is phenomenal. The Bears are going to struggle tonight on offense. They're going to struggle next week in Dallas. I think that spread is fair. Miami, 3-point favorites against the Lions. You know, Waddle and Tyreek yesterday with Tua. I didn't think they looked all that good, honestly. You know, we got the Waddle one. Shout out to Kyle again, who had it on the show. Tyreek just needed a few more yards for him to get his receiving yard prop. But I thought Tua, we could chalk it up to the first game back. You know, he tucked and run on one play and he really went forward with it without sliding, coming back from that concussion. But man, Pittsburgh should have had 4 or 5 interceptions yesterday on Tua Tagovailoa. Like they really should. I didn't think he played all that well. I could see that game being really, really tight. Sometimes he looks pretty good. And other times it's like, whoa, like, what was that throw? Honestly, like, the Steelers should have had 4 picks yesterday. They probably should have won that football game against Miami. Nice, solid game from Raheem Mostert. What else is on that schedule? Tyler, we'll run through it a little bit quicker here. Cardinals, Vikings, you know, Arizona. Hopkins played a lot in the slot last week. Arizona, you know, there's a really good record for Kyler when Hopkins is active and he's playing. I think that could be a field goal game. Minnesota coming off the bye. Yeah, I think that's a fair spread, but I think it could be, you know, field goal. I kind of lean Arizona to hang on and cover that one. I like the Raiders definitely beat the Saints. Saints are a mess. I like the Raiders to kind of go on a bit of a roll here. Talked about Josh Jacobs, and the defense is not playing that great in New Orleans and Andy Dalton, right? Whether it's Jameis or Andy Dalton, I don't think it really matters. And there's a lot going on there with the Saints. See if they can get some healthy bodies back. I would hammer the Pats now. This opened up, I think, at 1. I'd get on the Pats now. We can get it by a field goal. I think that they definitely beat the Jets by a field goal. The Steelers and the Eagles. This is a high spread. Philly coming off the bye. I think it's a little high, honestly. I think the Steelers can kind of hang around in that game. But I've been kind of doubting the Eagles in these big spreads from day one, but they've been covering the Titans. I think that they handle the Texans. The Commanders, oh my goodness, I just stay away from that game. I mean, the Colts favored by 4. We don't even get Carson Wentz revenge in this spot. Ugh, I just kind of stay away. Niners favored against the Rams. I actually think it's fair. I think it's 7 straight wins in the regular season for the Niners over the Rams. Of course, the Rams got the one that mattered in the playoffs last year. Giants again as dogs. Hard to go against Geno Smith, but also tough because the Giants just always find a way to win. I feel like they'll cover that game. Packers and Bills, this is actually like Bills should, let's be honest, they should be 13.5 point favorites. You know, the NFL would tell us that the Packers would bounce back and rebound here and cover this spread, but I think the Bills might smoke them. And then the Bengals, 3-point favorites against the Browns. I like that one quite a bit. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, we have the Patriots as 8.5-point favorites, and the total is 40 against the Chicago Bears. 3-3 for the Pats, 2-4 for the Chicago Bears. Heavy, heavy favorites here at New England. I think that the Pats win by 10 or so. I'd say it's like a 24-10 game. I would lean with the under 40. I don't think Chicago is going to do a whole lot on offense. We have Fields projected for 174 passing yards. His passing yard prop is sitting at a $1.56. It's a little low. I mean, I'm just staying away, honestly, from everything in this game besides the running backs. I know Damian Harris is coming back. Montgomery, I would kind of lean to the under on his rushing yards, but I think he can get a few targets into the backfield. The one guy that I like in this game, even though Harris is coming back, it's Ramondre Stevenson. I take the over on Ramondre's rushing yards at 60.5. We have him projected for 72 rushing yards on 14.6 carries. And we also have Justin Fields projected for, or Justin Fields, we also have Damian Harris projected for 60 rushing yards as well. So I think the defense is going to have their way. You know, if you have the Pats defense today, then, you know, good on you. I think that they're good for double digit points. They're going to create some turnovers. They're going to have some issues moving the football, I do believe. And the defense, as along with the two running backs, we'll see Harris practice in full towards the end of the week. We'll see if he, you know, if it's a full-on committee. I would say it's 60-40 here for Ramondre, but one thing we've seen from Ramondre over the past couple weeks, I mean, he's cleared this number in 4 straight games. Of course, last week, no, Harris, 19 for 76, had 2 touchdowns, and then Harris left the game against Detroit in week 5, and he had a $1.61 on 25 carries. But in week 4, when it was a split backfield, he had 66 rushing yards on 14 attempts, and then week 3, when it was a split backfield, he had 73 rushing yards on 12 attempts, and he was just starting to trend up. Like week 1 was 8 for 25, week 2 was 9 for 47, so this is a number he's cleared pretty easily in each of his last 4 games. Yeah, Tyler, Jacoby Meyer over 4 catches. You know, if there is a pay Patriots wide receiver, they're not just going to run all the time, but I would say that they run 25 times here today between those two backs. I think they lean on both guys. Need 9 points from Ramondre and a half point. I think you get it. You know, maybe 1 or 2 catches. If he finds the end zone, you're obviously going to get it, but that's the way that I would lean. I wanted to find Montgomery here for you guys. Oh, wow. I do like this one quite a bit. It wasn't there earlier. Montgomery over 1.5 catches at -145. So it's a little juiced there, but this is, he's been really involved. You can go back to last year towards the end of the season when it was Fields under center. Last week he had 1 catch, that's it, but he's had at least 2 catches in his previous 3 full games, 3 catches for 24 yards, 2 for 14, and 4 for 62. You know, they're almost 10-point dogs here. You got to feel like they're going to be playing from behind. It's going to be tough for Fields to move the football. It's not just going to be all running between the tackles. So I'm looking for a receiving yard prop over at Prop Shop. Can't find one, but 1.5 catches, BetMGM at -145. Again, it's a little bit juiced. 10.5 receiving yards at -119. I like both of those. They'll both be in the tracker. Ramondre rushing yards, Montgomery over 1.5 catches, and over 10.5 receiving yards. Those are the 3. I think the Pats win by 10 points, and I like the under as well. And Tyler, it's a pretty good call. Jacoby Meyers, I mean, it's a guy who's, you know, he's getting the targets, he's getting the looks. He's the one Pats wide receiver that I do trust. Okay, we'll break. We got some hockey talk, and we'll wrap up with just a little sneak peek of the World Series. Fall Classic starts on Friday. Keep your lock back in a couple. Welcome back in. A handful of games in the NHL. If you're looking to be part of the FTN family, of course, I always say it, but a friendly reminder, promo code MEANIE, save yourself a little bit of cash. You get all picks across all sports from everybody over at FTN. Props, picks, sides, tools, projections, Discord channel. It is all there for you over at ftnbets.com. A handful of games on the ice tonight in the NHL. I have a few shot props that I want to share with you guys. I'm going to lead here with Jordan Kyrou of the St. Louis Blues. We had him over the weekend. He was good to us. We had a two-unit play on Jordan Kyrou. Just a one-unit play here for Kyrou over 2.5 shots at minus 108 over at Bet Rivers. He has at least 3 shots in each of his first 3 games, and his ice time has increased in each of those games as well. 17 minutes, 19 minutes, 21 minutes. I'm not sure the status of Pavel Buchnevich here tonight, but I don't think it really matters for Jordan Kyrou. 3-4-3 shots in his first 3 games, getting power play time, playing next to a pass-first guy in Ryan O'Reilly, and a matchup here against the Winnipeg Jets. They rank inside the top 10 in shot attempts allowed and shots allowed at 5-5 per 60. So Kyrou over 2.5 shots. And a couple other shot props that I like here. I got Jack Hughes. I got Brent Burns, Jason Robertson, and Riley Smith. So Burns is only hit in 3 of 5, but he gets a lot of ice time. So I'm going to lean with him over the shot props. I was also thinking about Dougie Hamilton at 3.5 plus money. Also another guy gets a lot of ice time. He's been hitting, but so has Jack Hughes here. Jack Hughes, you know, you're going to bank on 20 plus minutes tonight. A matchup against Washington, pretty leaky defensively. I think we'll see some goals in the contest. But for Hughes, his last 4 games, 7 shots, 4, 7 shots, and 4. So he's cleared this in 4 straight. Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars in a matchup here against the Ottawa Senators. And then Riley Smith. Riley Smith is actually cleared in every game this season. And he's playing next to Jack Eichel. I don't know if that's going to continue. I think I saw him last game against Colorado move away from Eichel for a shift or two. The ice time isn't as high as Jack Eichel, but when he's playing 5-5 next to Eichel, I do believe Eichel is a pass first guy, even though like he's a guy that a lot of people like for shot props. And, you know, sometimes he'll have a game with like 5 or 6 shots and he really is a sniper, but he looks to pass more than he looks to shoot. And Riley Smith, although he hasn't benefited really from the passes from Jack Eichel, but he has 3 shots in every single game, 6-4-4-3-3-3. He only has 1 goal and 3 points here, but 23 shots through his first 6 games is pretty significant. And Robertson's just a guy that I really like. I do like this matchup here tonight against the Ottawa Senators. The Sens have played pretty good over the past couple of games, and Robertson only has 3 shots in his last 3 games, but those were tougher spots. Certainly the game against Toronto was. His first 2 games, he had 10 shots, and he cleared in his first 3 games as well for 2.5 shots. So we're looking to have a bounce back here, a nice week. Dr. Coke Killer, this is awesome. Why haven't I known about this live stream sooner? Oh wow, just stumbling across the show. Well, welcome in. We're here 5 days a week. We like to talk all sports here on this show: hockey, NBA, NHL, MLB, heck, college sports sometimes here and there. Little bit of esports coming in. Not a lot of esports, but we do have some esports people over at FTN that maybe jump into the show quickly. Oh, let's bring this up. George made it quickly for us. The 4 game streams. Can we do this quick time? Okay. Article is live. FTNFantasy.com. Going to do this every week. 4 game streams. Attack the schedule. You want to get the most out of your moves. I got teams that are playing on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Those are the days to attack. You got to make the tough decisions on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Everybody plays on those days. So you really want to attack the schedule. Get the most out of your moves, whether it's 4 game streams or teams playing on those odd days, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. I got buy low, sell highs, all that good stuff. Everything. Tyler, I just don't. Dallas Stars, Mason Marchman. Kailer Yamamoto hasn't done a whole lot, but he's playing with McDavid and he's playing with Evander Kane. Kalen Addison's playing on that number one power play. Jeez, he's got 6 points already. I think 4 or 5 of them have been on the power play. That's a very valuable position. Minnesota is struggling to keep the puck out of their net, but the power play is lethal with Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello's off to a great start. I would swap actually Spurgeon for Kalen Addison. He's not going to shoot the puck a lot. He's not going to do a whole lot for you in bangers leagues, but that is a very valuable position to be quarterbacking that power play. Nico Hischier, I think, you know, his ownership is low because he missed the first game of the season and he wasn't with the team for, you know, leading up to the season and preseason. He was just dealing with an injury, but Hischier's a really good player. The Devils are, I have some issues about them in goal, but they're playing really good hockey. They're either first or second in shot attempts, high danger chances, scoring chances. Shot attempts are pushing the pace. I expect that to continue tonight against the Capitals. Alexis Lafreniere has got a spot inside the top 6 due to some injuries, and he looks different. He's shooting the puck. He looks more confident this season. Jake Guentzel does have a chance to play on this road trip for the Penguins. You've got 4 games here on the West Coast. They play tonight. They play tomorrow. Heinen is showing up anyways. Ricard Raquel is probably a better stream because he has been playing with Crosby since day one. But Guentzel, if he doesn't play tonight and if he doesn't play tomorrow, Heinen's going to benefit from playing on that top line. He had a big boost in ice time. So did Raquel. And he's been hitting the score sheet. There's nothing in St. Louis' stream. Robertson playing in the top six next to Nylander and Tavares. He's probably gone. Leafs players are, you know, they go like the hotcakes. I would consider selling high on him. Chandler Stephenson, I mean, he should have been drafted. He was all over the draft kit. Get him now while you can. If not him, Riley Smith. Cole Perfetti. There's not a lot I like from Winnipeg, but he is inside the top six. Nikolaj Ehlers is on IR right now. Perfetti's getting an opportunity to play inside the top six. So is Mason Appleton playing on the first line. I wouldn't stream him. I think there's a little bit more upside in Cole Perfetti. Tyler, you just broke my heart with Breece Hall, ACL tear. Oh, man, it just kills me. It breaks my heart. We'll be back to wrap up the show. Keep her locked. The fall classic begins this Friday in Houston. How about the Astros, right? I mean, my goodness, the Yankees hit .162 and they struck out 50 times. This Astros team does not have a loss. They're the third team to reach the World Series in the wildcard era without dropping a game. You got to go back to the Royals in 2014, 8-0, and the Rockies in 2007, 7-0. Albeit both of those teams ended up losing in the World Series. But for the Phillies, there is something special going on. Their defense has played good. Bryce Harper, bullpen is good. The Astros are checking in here actually as -175 favorites. That is a typo probably on my behalf. But the Astros are heavy favorites here. I like them to win in six at +340. And I would sprinkle on a sweep. Why not? At +850, I'm rooting for the Phillies. But the Astros have absolutely everything going for them. Hitting, pitching, bullpen. Phenomenal stuff from Houston. Going to dive into some series props tomorrow. Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek. Dr. Coke Killer, we're running out of time, unfortunately. Powered by Game Plus Network, we got to get out of here. I will answer that question in the comment section. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to hang out. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.